Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
It's so important to know how to pray. It's very important. Your life will never be the same if you know how to pray and how to bring the power of God from heaven into this world, in our generation. Today, I would like to continue the subject of prayer again. In James chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we want to learn from you, Father. Today, help all of us, Lord, that our mind will be attentive to your word, and our spirit will be opened to your Holy Spirit, our real teacher. And may the teacher, the Holy Spirit, teach us, Father, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says that if you are in trouble or you are facing difficulties and trials in life, don't be quick to ask other people to pray for you. You should do your own praying first. Amen. And don't think this way that we hire the pastor to pray for us, or we hire the pastor to ask God or listen to God for us. In fact, every Christian is a sheep of God. We are His people. We should do our own praying, and we should also learn to listen to God directly ourselves. We should not have to go through any man. We all can listen to God. When we come to a corporate prayer meeting, it's a time that we can pray for the church, pray for the city, pray for the government, pray for the world, pray for the vision of the church, pray for revival, pray for the nations and the lost. In a corporate prayer meeting, we should not spend too much time and focus on individual prayer requests. Because you know why? We can pray for our own need at home. We can just, when we face any need, when we see anything that come and bother us, we can present our request to God directly ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't throw the responsibility of praying to other people. You can do your own praying when you face trouble. I like what the Bible says here in James chapter 5 verse 16 in the Amplified Bible. The earnest, heartfelt, you should memorize this scripture actually. So every time you pray, you know that you're going to see the power of God working in your life. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then James continued to give us example of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. You can see here that the sincere, earnest prayer of a Christian, of a righteous person, can change the atmosphere, can change the cycle of the earth, can change the situation in the earth. The Bible said that Elisha was like all of us. He was subject to passion. He was subject to mistake. You remember that he has a mountaintop experience. At that time, he prayed for the fire of God to come down and burn the offering. And then 450 prophets of Baal, the false god or the idol, were killed. Amen. He had such a victory. But then a woman named Jezebel, the queen, threatened to kill him. Instead of walking by faith, he ran away. He ran away for his life. And he said, God, I have enough. Just take my life away. So he was making mistake there. He did not walk by faith at that time. He was a man of feelings and emotions like all of you. Sometimes we have up and down the feelings and the emotions. But the Bible said that even though he was not perfect, but he was righteous, and God listened to his prayer, and his prayer move the hand of God to perform miracle, to change the atmosphere on earth here? The question that we have is this. Who would be that righteous man or righteous woman? Have you ever asked that question in your mind? Am I righteous to pray the prayer of the righteous man? Will God listen to me? And I know that when you ask that question, the devil answers you right away. It is not you. You are not righteous. He may say, yes, Oral Robert is righteous. Yes, Billy Graham is righteous, but not you. So who is righteous? Who can become the righteous man that can pray powerfully, that the tremendous power of God will be available for that righteous man? We become righteous not because of our own good deeds. We don't become righteous because of our spirituality. But we become righteous because of the finished work of the cross. Jesus died for our sin. On the cross, there was an exchange. By faith, when we received him, when we have faith in him, there is an exchange happened. Our unrighteousness was put onto him spiritually, and his righteousness came upon us. So our righteousness comes by faith, not by our good moral standard or our good deeds. Amen. So we become righteous by the righteousness of God, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that came upon us by faith. So if we make mistake, what we should do? If we sin, very simple, repent, confess, and turn away from sin, and God will wash all the unrighteousness again. So every day, we should confess our sins and get right with God. We all make mistakes. Elisha did some mistake. I did some mistake. But we can come to God and ask God for forgiveness every time, every day. Amen. And then we become righteous again. I don't want to pray the prayer that will be like a wasted motion that doesn't produce any fruit. Many times people say that I am praying, but they are not really praying. They keep praying, but they don't get any result. They don't see any power in that prayer because they don't pray in the correct way. And that's why I want to teach you how to pray effectively. We want our prayer to be effective. We want our prayer to make a big difference, change something. Something can happen because we pray according to the Bible. When we look at the four Gospels, we notice that the best praying person in the world, the best example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Therefore, we need to learn from the Lord Jesus. If you study the four Gospels, you will notice that Jesus' prayer always get answered. He never have even one prayer that did not get the result or answer. So he is the best model that we can learn so that we can follow his footsteps. When we pray and we don't get the answer, it hurts our faith. When we make a confession and we don't get the answer or get the result, it hurts our faith. If you keep praying 50 times and you don't get the answer 50 times, eventually you're going to say like this, what good is it to pray? I don't want to pray anymore. Waste of my time. You understand what I mean? How many people agree with me that actually prayer, that's good. Prayer bring results. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we believe that prayer will bring miracles and result in our life. And if we pray in the correct way. If our prayers are more selective, they will be more effective. Listen one more time. If our prayers are more selective, we will be more effective. Some people pray like this, like a shooting a ball or keep throwing something out from their mouth. They throw as much as they can and hopefully some of them gonna hit. You understand what I'm talking about? So you keep talking, praying, asking. And they may throw out 1,000 words and hopefully maybe one of 1,000 will hit. That's not the prayer that we should do. Every prayer that we're gonna do or we're gonna say, we want to make sure that it's correct. And it's going to hit. And it's going to produce outcome and produce result. Therefore, the quantity of prayer is not as important as the quality of prayer. before you pray something, you make sure that you have the right to pray that prayer, that request. Let me repeat one more time. Before you present a request to God, to the Father, in the name of Jesus, you make sure that you have the right to pray that prayer. How do you know that you have the right to say that, those words? By looking at the Word of God. Therefore, every time you, before you pray, you ask these two questions. Very important question. I'm teaching you practical point here. The first question is, do I have the right to claim this? Do I have the right to ask this? For example, if you ask, Father in heaven, I want to be rich very fast. Can you help me to rob a bank? That prayer, you don't have the right to ask God. It will not come true. Is that right? Because it's not based on the Bible. So you need to ask whether your request or your prayer is based on the Bible. That's the first question. Do you have the right to have that prayer request? Secondly, am I willing to stand in faith as long as it takes until it comes to pass? Let me repeat one more time. Am I willing to wait as long as it takes until the answer will come to pass? In other words, what I try to say is that every prayer should be a commitment. When I pray for my mom to get saved for 15 years, I keep praying and praying and praying until it came to pass. I commit to pray for my mom. I'm not going to give up. It's a commitment. Every confession of faith should be a commitment that I will stand in faith until God answers me. Prayer is not only a commitment. Prayer is also a communion with God. The more effective your prayer will be if you have more awareness of who God is and how He listens to you. You notice that sometimes when we worship God, your mind is somewhere else in the movie last night, in the TV program last night. Or when we pray together, your mind is somewhere else. You're not focusing on God. But if you want your prayer to be effective, you need to have awareness of God, focus on God, really talking to Him. Don't try to repeat, memorize phrases we call vain repetitions. Don't pray to a statue. Don't pray to a picture. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to Peter. Don't pray to Paul. Don't pray to any saint. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't count beats. Amen. We don't need to make strange voice to pray. We just simply talk to God. And not only that, Jesus taught us that we should love. If we want our prayer to be answered, we need to walk in love. Why? Because God is love and we pray to love. We are not praying to hatred. We are praying to love because God is love. If we want our prayer to get answered, we need to walk in love. If you still have bitterness and resentment and grudges against anyone in your family or in your church, and you want your prayer to get answered, the Bible says you need to forgive that person. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Our privilege to come before God is great. We can come before God. It's a privilege. And not only that, we thank God for the privilege that He listened to our prayer. Amen. But God said that in order to stand before Him, one thing that we need to do is to forgive others. And then our sins will be forgiven. Then you will be righteous to pray. Every time you come to God, you need to forgive others and you need to repent of your sin. And your prayer will be heard by God and it will be powerful. Therefore, don't keep bitterness against anybody in your life. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You may feel like slapping on that person's face. You may feel like you want to yell at that person. Forgiveness is faith. Love is about faith. You make a decision. It's not about feeling. You make a decision to forgive and to love no matter how you feel. Amen? Make a decision. You may not feel good about it, but you make a decision to forgive anyway. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. How come faith? For example, if somebody make me mad and I forgive that person, I have faith that when I do that, God sees it. God hears my heart. And God will reward me and God will be pleased with me. I have faith that God exists. I have faith that God knows my heart. I have faith that God is pleased when I obey Him. And I have faith that God will bless me when I obey Him. Therefore, love and forgiveness is relating to faith. Amen? It's about faith in God. You don't forgive just to make you look good, but you forgive because you love God, because you want to please God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving them in their wife, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you want God to answer your prayer, you must not be mean to your wife. You must not fight and get mad at your wife all the time. You should ask her to forgive you, and you should forgive her. Amen? Don't be mean to your wife. Honor your wife. Keep your heart clean. Amen. Now I'm going to come to the point that I want to preach today. I was reviewing what we learned in the camp. For the next 1 hour, I'm going to talk about what we want to learn. Today, I'm just reviewing what we learned. Mark chapter 11, 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have, and you will have them. When we pray, we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Everyone, repeat with me. Believe in the heart. Confess with our mouth. This scripture, Mark 11, 22 to 24, was not spoken by any pastor, was not spoken by any man, but it was spoken by the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a powerful scripture in walking with faith. I want to continue to read another passage of the scripture in the same line. Matthew chapter 21, 17 to 22. And then he left them, went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, everyone say, said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Let me ask this question. Did Jesus pray to the Father in Matthew chapter 21, verses 17 to 22? Did he pray to the Father? Yes or no? No, the answer is no. He didn't talk to the Father. Did he talk to the devil? Did he rebuke the devil? Did he talk to the disciples? What did he talk to? He talked to the tree. Is it right to talk to a tree? Yes. If Jesus did that, we can do that too. Again, Matthew 21, 18 to 19. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it. The Bible did not say he said to the Father. The Bible did not say he said to the disciple. He said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. Do our words have any effect on the natural thing? Yes. We're going to talk about one form of prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here. If we studied the ministry of Jesus Christ, we will find that many times he did not pray in dealing with problems. He did not talk to the Father. He spoke to the problems. He did not pray. Yes, he prayed a lot, actually. He spent all night praying to the Father. He prayed to the Father all the time. But many times, when he came to the situation where he has to deal with sickness, storm, problems, demons, or any problem that come against humanity, he did not do this. He did not kneel down and say, let us join hand and pray. He did not say that to his disciple. What did he do? He spoke to the problem. That's why he taught us that scripture one more time. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24, I read one more time. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Jesus did not say, whoever pray to the Father about the mountain. He did not ask us to pray to the Father, to ask the Father to move the mountain. He said that whoever say to the mountain, therefore, there is a time to pray. And there is a time to say. There is a time to talk to the Father. And there is a time to speak to the situation. Many Christians have a mixed up understanding about these two things. They were praying why they should be speaking to the situation. Or some people were speaking to the situation why they should be praying. Look at John chapter 16, 23 to 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This passage talking about ask the Father in the name of Jesus. What do you ask? You don't ask for sickness. You don't ask for problems. You don't ask for poverty. You don't ask for accident. You ask for good things from the Father, because the Father gives us the perfect and good things to his people. We don't ask Jesus. We don't ask the Holy Spirit. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you come to Jesus, if you pray like this, Jesus, give me a new job. If you pray like that, you don't understand the Bible, John chapter 16. If you ask for the job, you need to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Can you speak to Jesus? Yes, you can speak to Jesus. You can say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I adore you. I worship you. But when you come to the area of asking, you need to ask the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. We should ask the Lord to save those who sin against him. We should ask the Lord to save those who don't know him. Thank God for the privilege of coming into his presence and asking him. But look at another scripture here. John chapter 14, 13 to 14, the Lord say. John 14, 13 to 14. And whatever you ask my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is it confusing? In John chapter 16, Jesus said that if you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But this part, it sounds like you ask Jesus. Listen one more time. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Before I explain this scripture, let me try to tell you something here. When you read the Bible or scriptures, you see the contradiction between two verses or two passages. Or you may not even understand. It's normal human nature that you try to lift up your intellect and say that the Bible is wrong. I don't believe in it. I want to just tell you the Bible has no error. Amen? The problem is that our intellectual brain here cannot fully grab whatever the Bible say 100% right away. When I walked with God in 1981, I knew this much. As day go by, year go by, God revealed more and more of his knowledge to me. Many passages in the Bible look unreasonable, look very weird, look like something wrong here. But 10 years later, when I understand that passage, it makes sense. You understand what I'm talking about? So that our job is to be humble and say, God, I don't fully understand this message. Why John 16, you say that I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But in John 14, why I pray to you and you will do it for me? It's quite confusing. We should ask God for revelation, and God going to show to the church little by little. Our church was not perfect. It's not perfect and was not perfect and will not be perfect until Jesus come back. God keep revealing the more truth into the church. In order to understand some scripture, the best thing to do is to go back and read from the beginning to the end. Don't just read two verses, but read from the whole passage. Look at the whole passage here in John chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Verse 10, Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. You notice that he talked about him and the Father are one. And then he talked about the works that the Father was doing through him. Talking about the works. Everyone say the works. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. Now come back to verse 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. He talked about works. He talked about what he did, that I will do. Talk about doing the work. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In the Greek language, the words ask in John chapter 14, verses 13 to 14 means ask with urgency. It means requiring. It means demanding. So let me change the word in the scripture here. Let me read verse 13 and 14 again. And whatever you demand in my name, that I will do. Okay? How did Jesus do the work? When Jesus met Peter's mother-in-law who has fever, what did he do? Did he say, Father in heaven, this is a good sister in Christ. She is a good member of a local church. Could you please heal her? Did he talk to the devil? Devil, please leave her alone. Don't touch her. I beg you, Satan. Did he do that? No. He demanded. He said, fever, go. When he met a man, paralytic man, he said, rise, pick up your mattress and go home. When he faced a wind, he said, peace and be still. When he dealt with a man with shriveled hand, he did not kneel down and pray to the Father. What did he do? He said, stretch out your hand. He demanded. Is that right? That's the work that Jesus did. He said, if you demand in my name, that I will do. So he is doing that kind of work. He was doing the kind of work of demanding, speaking, saying, not demanding of God though. We are demanding the situation in a person's life. Amen. Do you get what I try to say now? We must learn when to pray, and we must learn when to say. Everyone say, when to pray, when to say. When we want to ask good things from the Father, we ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Did Jesus speak to the tree? Did Jesus kneel down in front of the tree and say, Father in heaven, please make this tree wither? Did he do that? What did he do? He spoke to the tree and said, you will not have any fruit anymore. And then what happened? The tree changed. And the disciple marveled. Definitely, if I was there, I would be marveling too, like, what is going on here? Jesus did not say, yeah, you know, hey guy, I am the Son of God. I can do it. I can command a tree to wither. You are just human being. You just see this. You cannot do it. Did he say like that? No. That's definitely Satan going to speak to you the same thing. Jesus is there. You are here. You have a big valley between him and you. And Jesus was the Son of God. You will not be able to do this thing. You're just a human being. Did Jesus say that? Look at what Jesus said. Actually, I say to you. He said like this. Actually, I say to you. In other words, I'm telling you the truth that you could put your life on it. Amen? This is the truth. You can put your life on it. I'm not lying. Most actually, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. What was done to the fig tree? Speaking to the fig tree. But also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. So Jesus is teaching us how to say, how to demand. But the key is this, don't have doubt. Don't have doubt in your heart. When you speak to the situation, you need to speak by faith. How do you get faith? How do you get faith? Hearing the word of God. What else? How do you get faith? How do you get more faith besides hearing the word of God? Who gives you faith? Which part of God? Huh? Who is on earth right now? The Father is in heaven. The Holy Spirit in us is the one who gives us the gift of faith, who gives us the manifestation of faith. So you need to hear the word all the time, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Amen? I have to admit that my faith go up and down. Sometimes I have not much faith. I'm talking about faith for miracle. I'm not talking about faith for salvation. I have faith for salvation already. But faith for the miracle. Come up and down. The more Holy Spirit in me, the more I feel with the Holy Spirit, the more faith I have. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives faith. So we need to hear the word of God, read the word, speak the word all the time. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing of the word of God. And you can have faith in the negative things too. For example, if you keep saying this, my mom is sick. My mom has cancer. I will have cancer. My mom has cancer. I will have cancer like her. If you keep speaking like this, you're going to have faith for it. And you're going to affect your body. Because you speak negative things. And faith in that negative thing will come upon you. And as I mentioned a while ago, the power is in your tongue. Whatever you say can impact the natural thing. Your own body, your house, your finances, everything. That's why I always say about my wife and to my wife like this, you are beautiful. You're so anointed. You're so wise. You are the Proverbs 31 woman. You are so powerful. You're going to shake the nation. You're the mother of many nations. Amen. I don't say to my wife like this, oh, poor lady. She every time she come around me, she give me trouble. I don't say those things. I say my wife is the best. She is anointed. She's beautiful. Speak and she become beautiful. Amen. And anointed. Because we speak it. Amen. And you don't walk by sight even though you don't see your wife is beautiful right now. If you don't. You still speak anyway that she's beautiful and she's going to become beautiful. Amen. This is important. You remember the Bible say, Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. You don't see it, but you speak it and it would happen. Your mouth speak, command and demand it, the positive thing in your life, and command the negative thing to go out of your way. We can demand sickness to go away. We can demand demons to go away. We can demand fever to go away. We can demand the atmosphere to change for the gospel. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is demanding. This is not asking. This is speaking. Look at the disciple. What did they do in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 6? We're going to look at the New Testament example. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hours of prayer. In other words, these people are praying people. They pray a lot. Amen. We need to be praying people. They went up to pray, our prayer. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Let's kneel down and ask the Father and call the prayer meeting to help this guy." Did it say that way? Did the Bible say that? No. The Bible said, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Did he demand? Did he demand in the name of Jesus? Amen. He demanded in the name of Jesus Christ. That's one way that we can use our authority in this earth to stop the power of darkness, to stop fever, to stop sickness in our life. But when you demand it in the name of Jesus, you have to do it by faith. You need to believe in the power of God. God give you authority. God give you, you are the ambassador of God. Jesus is not here anymore in his physical form, but he is in you by the Holy Spirit. And he said that I gave you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. You have authority to demand in the name of Jesus. You are not praying to the devil. You are not talking to the devil, but you command the devil to go away. You command sickness and fever to go away. Amen. Last week, one member, he fell off the bicycle and he sprained his foot and he was not able to walk. He was on a wheelchair the next day. We took him to the hospital. Fortunately, thank God, there was no broken bone. Normally, the sprain like that, the severe sprain with swelling and bruise, would take at least 3 weeks to heal. As a doctor, I know that. On Tuesday night, at the end of the service, most of the people already left the room. Only I and maybe another 20 people in the room. We began to demand. That's the last thing I say that night. I say, in the name of Jesus, we command that pain to go away from his foot. He will enjoy this camp. The next day, I saw him walking around in the camp and ride a bicycle again. We demand, if your son have a fever, don't go and say, call your pastor. "Oh, pastor, pray for my son. He has a fever." No, you walk in. You have authority in your house. You walk into his room and point finger to his body and say, "In the name of Jesus, fever go away right now." Amen. Actually, you don't need to even yell. You just walk in, because the power is not in the tone of in your the how loud your voice is. You just walk in. Last night, Paul walked to me in my den, my office, and he knelt down in front of me and said, "Dad, pray for me." I just pray quietly. I lay hand on his head and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command all the bad things in your life, demonic power, bad thoughts, bad dreams, everything to go away from you in Jesus' mighty name." I didn't even yell. I just prayed quietly, because the authority is in the name of Jesus, not in the loudness of your voice. Amen. A lot of Christians don't do this demanding thing. They do begging. They are like a beggar. "God, please take this demon away from me. God, take this sickness away from me." They keep begging and begging and pleading God. And God was looking from heaven and said, "I did that already for you 2,000 years ago. I died for you. I paid a price by my stripe. You were healed 2,000 years ago. Why you keep asking me to heal you? You don't need to ask me to heal you. The healing was done. You just, what you do, tell it to go away. Tell the sickness to go away. You demand it." Amen. You know why we should not come to sickness and demon and disease and say, "Oh, sickness, oh demons, can I beg you, can I ask you something? Can you please leave this person? Why don't we do that? Because demons and the devil are manipulators and forcers. They are liars. You don't try to deal with them by talking to them. You just command them to go away. You demand. The work that Jesus did while he was on earth, most of the time when he dealt with problem, he demanded, he spoke, and he said to the situation. Amen? You learned something today? So from now on, you know when to pray. So if you need a new job, what do you do? Let me ask you. I want to check you understand what I'm preaching today. If you need a new job, what do? Huh? You pray to the Father, ask for the new job. But if sickness comes to you, you are sick, what do? You demand. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. If your business is losing money, you're going to the red, what do? You demand the devil to take the hand out of your finances. And then you ask the Father in Jesus' name to bless you financially. Is that right? And not only that, keep sowing the seed of giving. Sowing the seed, finance. Whatever you do. I learned this principle. I'm going to preach about this in detail later on. But I just want to give you a principle. Whatever you do in your life, if you want to see success, you want to see victory, three things that you need to do. Number one, you need to sow. If you want finances, you sow finances. If you want love from your wife, you sow love to her. You don't reap if you don't sow. Secondly, you need to ask the Father by faith to bless you. Because you don't have, if you don't ask, you don't have. That's what the Bible says. Three, you speak those things that be not or they did not exist as though they did. You speak situation into your life. Amen. I speak all the time that my kids will serve the living God and they will do well. I speak all the time. Every time I talk to them, I say, you're going to be fine. You're going to serve God. You're going to be rich. You're going to be fine. I speak those things that you don't see into existence. That's what Abraham did. Abraham speak that he can have a baby. Not himself, Sarah. Have a baby. He spoke those things that did not exist into existence. Amen. Hallelujah. If Abraham had a baby, I think it would be a miracle, big miracle. Amen. Do you have anything in your life that you can speak to right now? Do you have any situation in your life that you want to speak to command it to disappear from your life? If you have, could you please stand up? Maybe broken relationship between husband and wife. Maybe sickness, maybe poverty, maybe a curse of poverty. You need to do your own speaking, okay? Your own speaking in the name of Jesus. You speak to the situation, have faith in your heart that God back you up in the name of Jesus. You speak it in the name of Jesus, command it to go away, command it to disappear from your life, to melt, to disappear. You do it yourself. I'm not going to do it for you today. You do it yourself. Are you ready? Speak it out loud. Amen. I mean, you can hear. I'm not saying that you need to shout. You just speak to the point that you can hear. You need to declare it. You need to decree it. You need to speak it. Say it. Okay. Are you ready? Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak. In the name of Jesus. Speak. Go away sickness. In the name of Jesus from this church. All kinds of sickness go away. Demons go away. Bondage go away in the name of Jesus. From this house. In Jesus' mighty name. Poverty. Debt. Go away. Bondages go away in the name of Jesus. Broken relationship in the family go away. In the name of Jesus. Right now, go. You cannot be here. You cannot be in their homes. You cannot be in their house. You must go away right now in Jesus' mighty name. Go. Leave this place in Jesus' mighty name. Now thank God for His authority that He gives to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can be seated. Are you going to put this into practice in your life? It really works in me many times. Amen. It works. I have been doing this for a few years. Remember this. Speak those things that be not as though they were. Don't speak negative. Don't speak curses into your own life. Don't speak bad things into your own life. Speak only positive things. Even though you don't see it, you walk by faith. So you speak the word of faith that God promised you. God promised you to have prosperity, good health, success, victory, good family. Your children will inherit the land. Amen. You speak, my debt pay off. My body is whole. My health strong. My mind is sharp. Amen. My business doing well. My patients do well. No complication. Amen. I live a long life. I serve God to the end. My children will inherit the land. I speak those things. Amen. Into existence. Because the power is in your mouth. Don't let negative things come out from your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This morning, if you have any one of you don't know Jesus Christ, I'd like to help you to know Him by praying with you. It's very simple. You just turn away from your sin and say, Jesus, you died for me. I want to receive the forgiveness of sin from you. I want to go to heaven. I want to have a new life. I don't know any non-believers sitting here, but I'd like to pray with you if you want to know Jesus Christ. You cannot have authority to speak what I say until you become a Christian. Because authority only belongs to believers, not non-believers. Amen. You can say in the name of Jesus and have authority to command those things only if you are a child of God. Otherwise, authority has been stolen by the devil. You don't have authority for yourself. The authority has been given back to you by the cross. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.